It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Haley Brown. Haley is the clinic director of the clinic that I practice at, White Spruce Medical. Today we're talking about the disease of our times, which is high blood sugars. We're talking about diabetes, we're talking about metabolic syndrome, but what we're really talking about is the diseases that come from having high blood sugars. Things like cancer.
Heart disease.
Dementia.
Cataracts.
Peripheral neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
Kidney disease. Bad circulation, enough where you have to get amputations. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Wreck and ruin. Arthritis is another one we didn't mention before.
Yeah.
And really what's the underpinning of all these diseases is that the sugar is sticky.
Yeah.
It's sticking to our bits, and it's getting in the way of the normal function of those bits. Those
yeah.
bits don't work as well.
Right.
Your lenses of your eyes get cloudy. Your kidneys don't work as well. They don't filter your blood as good as they did
before. The feeling in your feet starts getting wonky.
Yeah, there's a little, there's a transportation system that's in each and every one of our nerves,
mm-hmm.
and the blood sugars can get in the way of that transportation system from working. They block it.
Even in the nerves, not just the blood vessels, but
yeah,
also
even
the nerves.
In the nerves. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways that our body can send material around. The mm-hmm. nerves have this little channel in them that moves material that comes from the central nervous system out to the peripheral nervous system
mm-hmm.
to keep it healthy. If that channel is disrupted, it doesn't work. And it doesn't take much to disrupt it. You can pinch it. That'll do it. You get a pinched nerve.
Right.
That's the reason why a pinched nerve is a problem, because it can't get the nutrition that it needs down through the middle of the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is if you just have too much sugar in your system, it clogs that, and your nerves start basically dying back. So
yeah.
people with diabetes frequently will get peripheral neuropathy. And they'll get a particular kind of peripheral neuropathy that makes it their feet feel like they're burning.
Mm-hmm.
The soles of their feet burn. They also have poor balance. That's another one that'll show up. Because their sensory feedback doesn't work quite as well, because the nerves,
for
the other
toes,
kinds of nerves.
For their whole kind of foot.
Yeah, and so
yeah.
they're more wobbly. You give them a poke and they can't straighten themselves back up again, particularly if their eyes are closed. They'll just keel right over.
Right.
So again, wreck and ruin. There's a bunch of bad stuff. And this is the stuff that we're talking about here is what most people break down with. Most people die with. The numbers of people who have a problem with blood sugars exceeds the numbers of people that don't have problems with blood sugars. The combination of diabetes and metabolic syndrome, mm-hmm. those people exceed in population. They're a majority of people who don't have blood sugar problems.
Right.
Now, the thing we talked about in the last show was how to find out if you're one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And let me review that, because not everybody was listening last week.
Mm-hmm.
The way you can figure it out is you run a blood test and see if you have high blood sugars, except for you have to do that over and over again, because one blood sugar being high is not enough to figure out if you have the problem or not.
Right.
A better test, or test to do along with that test.
A1C.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
An A1C. A1C is a glycosylated hemoglobin. That's
mm-hmm.
a fancy word for meaning hemoglobin, which is the protein that's inside your red blood cells, how much sugar is attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Glycosylation is sugarfication.
Mm-hmm. And it's an average over 3 months.
Yeah, and so the you get new red blood cells that are coming online every day.
Mm-hmm.
You get old red blood cells that are getting recycled, broken down and recycled at the end of about 3 months.
Right.
So the population of red blood cells you have, you know, is not older than 3 months.
Yeah.
So for the last 3 months, you get a kind of sense of what your blood sugars have
been
doing overall.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a super helpful test, but it's not anywhere near as helpful as doing a continuous glucose monitor.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cat's meow. You want to figure out if you have this problem? That's the best test.
The best way to see it act in real time.
So what you do is you put this little disc, it comes with a little applicator, and you stick it to your skin,
mm-hmm.
and it puts a teeny, teeny, teeny little straw into your skin
mm-hmm.
and leaves it there for 2 weeks. And samples your interstitial fluid, not your blood,
mm-hmm.
your interstitial fluid, and it uses that interstitial fluid that has a little bit of sugar in it to calculate what your blood sugars are, because there's a relationship between how much sugar's in your blood and how much sugar's in your interstitial fluid. And the manufacturers of this device know this, mm-hmm. and they've been working it out for years to get the algorithm just right to be able to tell what your blood sugars are. And so what you get if you tap your phone to the device mm-hmm. and download the information that it's been accumulating for the last 8 hours, mm-hmm. then you can get continuous monitoring of your blood sugars. Now, if you forget to tap your phone, you might get a gap.
Right.
But even with a gap, occasional gap, you still can see the gist of what's going on, because if your blood sugars are shooting off the charts,
it's going to alarm you and it's going to track it.
You know your sugars are running too high. They're sticking to stuff in your body at too high a rate for you to fix.
Yeah.
Now, let's
keep up.
This is the other thing is, well, you and I talked about this last week, mm-hmm. which is our bodies can fix the sugar, the glycosylation, the sugarification.
They have the ability.
Has the ability to fix it, to go in, cut out the little damaged section, and splice in another section. You know, some places it's hard to do, like the lenses of your eyes. It's just hard to get there. But other places it's easier, right?
Yeah.
To do this. It still takes energy. It mostly happens at night when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But our body's got some capacity for healing. So if your blood sugars can stay, let's use the A1C as a way to measure this. If your blood sugars can stay lower than a 5.5 on an A1C, mm-hmm. chances are you can keep up. Now, why do I say that? Because people who have a blood sugars lower than 5.5, they don't get dementia. Mm-hmm. They don't get increased heart attacks. They don't get increased risk of stroke and kidney failure and those kind of things mm-hmm. because our body can keep up. But if you're running 5.6, your chance of getting problems has gone up slightly. You're mm-hmm. running 6.6, it's gone up a lot.
Yeah.
You're running 10.6, you're destined to die young.
Yeah.
Because you got way too much sugar sticking in your bits that your body simply can't fix it, can't clean it up. So let's talk today about how to fix it. Last week, I just reviewed the show we did last week,
yeah,
right there.
Right.
We talked about how to figure out if you're one of those people. You can go to your doctor. Mm-hmm. You can get the regular test, which can give you a pretty good idea whether you got a blood sugar problem. And if your doctor's astute, they can get you signed up for these glucose, continuous glucose monitor. And not only will you know if you have the problem, but at that point, you'll have enough information that you can figure out how to fix it.
How to treat it.
Because, you know, here's the thing. Diabetes. Everybody knows how to fix diabetes. You need to eat right and you need to exercise.
Right.
Yeah, how come we all have diabetes then? Because I just cured every case of diabetes on the planet.
That doesn't do anything if you exercise and eat right if your body has something that's not working right. Even
well,
if, you know.
Yeah, right. So I didn't. Actually, there's a subset of people with diabetes that they can eat right and exercise until the cows come home and they won't get fixed.
Yeah.
Type 1 diabetes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's a breakdown of insulin production, so it's another thing altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But your regular run-of-the-mill type 2 diabetic, the problem with treating type 2 diabetes is that it's hard.
To rewire your body like
You're never going
to
eat pie again?
Right.
You're never going to have a cookie again the rest of your life. Really?
Right.
Ever. Not once.
Not a beer, not a soda,
nope.
None of that. Yeah.
No pasta, no bread. You're just going to completely eliminate from your diet.
Right.
People do.
Yeah.
They do.
I did.
Those people are a rarity. Now, you did. You're exceptional. But most people won't do it. They think, I don't want to live like that. I didn't grow up like that.
Right.
I don't want to live like that. So now the question is, well, how do we fix it? If you can't follow the perfect diet, how can you fix it? And the answer is the continuous glucose monitor will tell you. So all you need to do is figure out, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little facetious about this one. How much pie can you eat?
Right. By watching the numbers, how does your body react to a bite rather than a whole slice?
Exactly.
Now,
I don't want to be too facetious because I did this personally.
Right.
And what I found at Thanksgiving is I was able to have 3 pieces of pie and not have my blood sugars go above 150. I practiced for a month and a half to figure out how to do it because I want to know how to hack my body
right.
to get it to work right.
Right.
And here's how I did it. And you guys are all going to groan. I had 3 pieces of pie that were not thicker than an inch at any point,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
right? Which was 3 bites of pie. I had 3 bites. My piece of pie was 3 smallish bites.
Right.
But I got a sense of what the pie tasted like. Mm-hmm. I got a sense of the flavor
still
of the pie.
Still got to enjoy it.
And I got plenty, and my blood sugar stayed below 150, okay, number one. Secondly, is I ate a really good dinner ahead of time.
Right.
I had green beans. I had salad. I had lots of fiber. I had turkey. I had healthy things. I didn't eat much. I had a teeny little bit of like two spoonfuls of mashed potatoes and one spoonful of stuffing.
Yeah.
That was it. Literally one spoonful of stuffing because I knew I wanted to have pie. I was because our guests had brought up these fabulous pies. I wanted to try them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm determined to keep my blood sugars normal because I'm just like the people I'm telling you about. I have a hard time regulating my blood sugars. Personally, I come from a long, long end of diabetics, and I'm getting older, and who knows, you know, the wages of sin is death, whatever. So there's some reason that my system doesn't work very well, so I have to work it. This continuous glucose monitor is a godsend. It is amazingly helpful for me to figure out how to live, how to set up a pattern that I can eat a certain way so my blood sugars don't go high.
And so that's a guide for people who can eat right, who can change their diet, who are willing to change their diet. But what about the people that aren't willing or can't make that lifestyle change? Is medication the only answer?
No, it isn't. Here's the thing.
Because you hear about metformin, you hear about all these different kind of diabetes type drugs. And you,
Rubelsis.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like you hear these people have these terrible reactions to it, and not actually getting their blood sugars cured. Like they're not getting any repercussions from what they're looking for from the medications.
Yeah, generally speaking, the medications are helpful. Let me say that again. Generally speaking, the medications are helpful. There's occasional people who have a reaction to the medication that can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, the medications are helpful. They'll bring down your blood sugars on average. They'll improve your A1C.
Mm-hmm.
They will not cure you.
Right.
It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be some degree of common sense. I mean, you can't live on pie and donuts and expect that Ozempic's going to cure you. It won't work.
Right.
It's not strong enough.
Right.
The stronger force is going to be your diet. So you got to include some common sense in this thing. But it, really, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have to live like a saint and live perfectly. What you have to do is you have to live well enough to keep your blood sugars between 70 and 150.
And do the herbs that we provide at the office give any helpful pushes to?
Exactly. They do the same thing that the medications do. Not exactly. The mechanisms are different, but the effect is the same. They'll lower an A1C and they'll help you manage your blood sugars very effectively in combination with common sense and diet stuff.
And with that, your body can start to rebuild and fix the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we, all of us, have the capacity to heal the damage from the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to get our metabolic rate high enough so we can repair quicker or reduce the amount of damage so that there's not so much damage so we can keep up. See, there's two sides of that coin.
Right.
We, all of us, as doctors, almost only focus on the blood sugar part. We don't look at the metabolism part.
Right.
But the metabolism part is part of the equation. So part of the thing you can do...
It matters how fast you burn that stuff off. Absolutely.
If your metabolism is higher, your repairing capability is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So... How do you measure that? How do you know if you have a fast metabolism? I'm asking you.
By your temperature.
That's right.
Yep.
By your temperature. If your temperature is cold and slow,
you've got a low metabolism.
You have a low metabolism. If your temperature is warm, if you're 98.6, you've got a good metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the olden days, having a high metabolism was much more common.
Right.
And people were hardworking and they didn't have central heating, and so there was a challenge and a stimulation for our metabolism to be high. That all went away. So the average temperature is no longer 98.6. It's 97.8.
Right.
That's the average temperature. It's almost a whole degree low. It's 8-tenths of a degree lower than it used to be.
So we're processing at a degree lower than what we have generations ago.
Now, you wouldn't think, it's just a degree. What does that matter?
It
matters
a lot. That's how much heat, how much energy your body's putting out.
Yep.
How much it's using.
It matters a lot.
Yeah.
It matters a lot. Our ability to heal and to repair from the damages, the ravages of, day-to-day life go up if our temperature is up. This is one of the reasons when we get sick, we get a fever.
Right.
That way our immune system can work better.
It's
our repair mechanisms can work better. Our body can clean up the mess from our immune system killing off all this stuff and leaving holes in our bits.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally patch those holes up better when we have a temperature. This is one of the reasons why people who are sick often will get night sweats. Right. It's now that they sweat, they got a fever. And then at a certain point, your body says, good, we're done. We got enough fever. The repair crew came in, cleaned this up. Now it's time to bring your body temperature back down to normal. Mm-hmm. Boom, you break out into a sweat as a way to cool yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a healing mechanism. Most people don't know that. They think night sweats are just a bad thing. They're not.
Right.
They're a useful thing. Now, yeah, they're bad because they're miserable and you're wet and you don't sleep very well and there's all that, right? But in terms of what your body's trying to accomplish, it's heating you up so that you're warmer and so your metabolic rate is higher.
I remember coming to you and asking why I had night sweats. What am I fighting? Why am I sick? What's my body trying to repair from? And you told me the exact same thing. That's normal.
Your body's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You're healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. And it was. And you did.
Yeah.
You really turned. You made a turn. So one of the things that we look at is how to get people's metabolic rates higher. I had this conversation with a patient today.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a wide variety of things you can do to warm yourself up. I'll give you, now, before I tell you what these are, I'm going to warn everybody listening, you're not going to like this list. This is all various degrees of torture.
Right.
Of course it is, because you have to challenge your body to get your body to wake up.
You have to shake the plan a little bit,
yes,
traumatize it,
yes,
and make
do.
It grow
yes,
better.
To make it grow better. That's exactly what this is. So let's talk about some of the easier ways to do this. One of the easier ways to do it is finish your shower with cold.
Yep. Shock your immune system.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Shock your metabolic system.
Yeah, it's like hydrotherapy.
That's exactly what it is. That's the name, hydrotherapy.
Yep.
Hydrotherapy. So what you do is you take a warm shower. Then at the end, you flip it to cold, except for I can't make it go all the way to cold. I have to go about halfway
just
to cold.
Just below lukewarm. Just below lukewarm. Yeah.
It is plenty cold. The shock is absolutely there. So I turn it to cold, and then I go around and do these little pirouettes and let the water hit me. The place it's most important to let the cold water hit you is at the
back of the neck.
Yes, back of the neck, because that's where your brown fat is.
Right.
And if you get your brown fat to turn on, you'll heat up.
Right.
So that is a fairly straightforward way to do it.
Now, and I've heard if you do that for at least 60 seconds a day, you can significantly improve your metabolic processing.
Right. Yeah, 60 seconds. You know, I've actually done these things.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sore trial.
It wakes you up first thing in the morning, too. It gets your day going, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the ways.
I've gone through periods of time where I've really done this religiously, and I glow. I just feel fabulous.
Yep.
Except for it gets old.
It does.
If I get tired, the last thing I want to do is get under cold water.
Especially if it's 50 below outside. You don't want to be in a cold shower.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge. Okay,
yeah.
So there's that. Yet, what do? You have to pick your poison. You got to do something like that.
Right.
So here's another thing that you can do. By the way, the cold shower works better. I'd start there.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you can do is you can do the Wim Hof breathing. We've talked about this on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Wim Hof is this athlete who's set a zillion records for doing cold stuff. He's swam the furthest under ice of anybody.
Oh, wow.
There's Wim Hof. And what he did is he learned how to heat his body up by doing this breathing pattern. It's basically a deep breathing. You do 30 deep breaths, and then you blow your air out, and you hold your breath for as long as you can on the exhale.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does in effect is it increases your carbon dioxide levels.
Mm-hmm.
And what the carbon dioxide level does is it improves your oxygen transfer.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the transfer of oxygen from the air to your cells depends on carbon dioxide. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide is a linchpin.
Yep.
Without the carbon dioxide, you can't get the oxygen transfer to work.
Yep.
So carbon dioxide is a key element of that.
It's part of the recycling. It needs to be.
And so the release of oxygen from the hemoglobin, hemoglobin is what's carrying the oxygen, the release of that oxygen depends on carbon dioxide. If you get the carbon dioxide levels to go up, which is funny because everybody thinks, well, carbon dioxide is bad. We need to get it out of our system. No, it's helpful.
So what kind of breathing is that? Is that like box breathing?
Well, box breathing is helpful. That's when you breathe in, you hold, you breathe out, you hold, you breathe in, you hold.
Yep.
That'll increase your carbon dioxide levels. So will breathing into a paper bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All you have to do is just keep rebreathing, and then it'll push your carbon dioxide levels up. So if somebody's
or through a straw, right? You've said before through a straw as well.
Well, if somebody's in a panic attack, A lot of times they have air hunger, mm-hmm. so they want to breathe more, mm-hmm. which blows off their carbon dioxide levels, mm-hmm. which makes their oxygen in their blood not let go. Mm-hmm. And so they really are short of oxygen. If you check their blood oxygen levels, it'll be 100%. But in reality, their blood can't let it go because the carbon dioxide levels are too low. Mm-hmm. Those people are at risk of dying. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what will happen is it'll trigger an asthma attack
right.
as a way to increase the carbon dioxide. If you can breathe through a little straw, that'll cause back pressure, mm-hmm. and then you'll get more carbon dioxide. So what your body does is it constricts the bronchioles, mm-hmm. turns them into little straws. And so now you think that the asthma is the disease. It's actually the cure.
Right.
If your blood oxygen level, or rather your blood carbon dioxide levels are running low, one of the ways your bodies can fix it is by constricting your bronchioles. And so your carbon dioxide levels will go up.
Right.
So anyways, that's a lot to take in on a radio show. I just, you know, I either lost 80% of our listeners or I blew their minds with that. Because mm-hmm. it was like, what is he talking about? Yeah, let's not go into that anymore. Let me just say, one of the ways that you can get your metabolic rate to go up is get your carbon dioxide levels to go up by doing this Wim Hof breathing. If you want to know how to do it, it's easy. Just Google it.
Wim Hof breathing.
There's a form, Wim Hof breathing, Wim, W-I-M. HOF breathing, mm-hmm. and there's a 4-minute video where he tells you how to do it. Now, he explains how it works, and the explanation is actually not correct, by the way.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter, because what he shows you to do is exactly correct. And what you can do is you can get your metabolic rate to go up. You can get your temperature to go up, at least to contribute to it. It's analogous to opening the damper on a wood stove. Mm-hmm. If you can get the oxygen transfer on a wood stove to work better, that is, you open the hole and let the air come in, mm-hmm. then the fire burns hotter.
And so would a sauna work the same way in
no,
releasing your metabolic?
No, it doesn't. That's a good question. That's an excellent question. If you get into a sauna, it'll heat you up.
And you sweat profusely.
And your body tries to cool you down. So when you get out of the sauna, your temperature will actually go down. Right. Now, if you do a sauna and then afterwards you go outside and you go roll around in the snow, woo, it'll work beautifully.
Right.
You need the cold challenge. Without that cold challenge,
it's just a detox at that point.
No, what it does is it'll weaken you. It'll make your metabolic rate go lower.
Oh, really?
Lower. Actual lower. It'll make your metabolic rate go lower. You need the cold to stimulate your metabolism. Without the cold, it doesn't work.
Okay.
I had a patient, I used to live in Arizona, and I had a patient who had chronic fatigue, and she was running 2 degrees low. Mm-hmm. And I was having a heck of a time figuring out her case because there was no reason for her to have chronic fatigue until she told me. She said she slept with an electric blanket every night, and then bang, that was it. That's all I needed to know. I was able to fix her
right.
by having her not do the electric blanket.
What
the electric blanket was doing, it was turning into a lizard. She didn't make heat anymore.
Her body didn't need to.
She just soaked it up from the environment, so she never did make enough heat. As soon as she got out of the electric blanket or out of the shower or out of the sauna or out of wherever she was getting her heat from, her body temperature would go down, and she'd go low and slow. And she wouldn't repair.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't do what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got cold and slow and tired. So what we ended up doing is everything we just talked about, I ended up doing hydrotherapy on her. I ended up having her unplugging the electric blanket. She could keep the blanket. She just couldn't plug it in.
Right.
I had her do a bunch of stuff along these lines, and she warmed up and she got better. Cured her case.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very satisfying to be able to figure it out. And the thing is, what doctor would ever figure that out? You know, it takes somebody like us.
Analytical, for sure.
To be able to figure it, to puzzle things out.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to give her, I don't know, some kind of pep pills or something. It wasn't going to work.
Right.
It wouldn't turn her case. Anyways, let's come up to the summary on this one. We talked about blood sugars. Here's the final thing on this one. Once you know what your blood sugars are doing, it's not that hard to fix.
Right.
You can just, you know, you could fiddle faddle around. You could take herbs. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You could, metformin will help. You got to match it with the diet.
Mm-hmm.
You can increase the amount of fiber in your diet.
Mm-hmm.
That'll work too. So one of the tricks to me eating pie and getting away with it
mm-hmm.
is I had a salad beforehand and
to
green beans.
Yeah.
I had a lot of what happens with the fiber is the fiber mixes with the sugar, and so the sugar can't be absorbed because it's mixed with the fiber.
Right.
Literally, it doesn't touch the cells that suck it up.
It gets used rather than being.
It stays in the middle of the pipe. That's your digestive system.
Yep.
For longer. So eventually it gets absorbed, but not all at once.
Right.
It takes a while. So there's the difference between eating an apple, which is full of fiber, mm-hmm. it's got sugar in it, mm-hmm. or you squeeze all the sugar out of that apple and then drink it, boom, that sugar's in your bloodstream immediately. So if you want to see your blood sugars shoot for the stars, drink some apple juice.
Or drink a smoothie rather than eating straight fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
So if you were to drink a smoothie and put all your fruits and vegetables in, blend it all up, your body's going to receive that and break that down so yes. much faster
yes.
than if it was
yes.
actual.
Now, some people don't have any problem with this. Smoothies are perfectly healthy and they're perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And how do you know if you're one of those people? Continuous glucose monitor.
Right.
That's how you know. So if you do a continuous glucose monitor, you can find out if you can do a smoothie or not. Me? No way can I do a smoothie.
I cannot do a smoothie.
No way.
It throws me way too high.
Way too high. Way too high. Can't do it. Can't mm-hmm. do it. So what I can eat berries.
I can eat the fruit, the yogurt, the honey, all of that individually, and it does not affect me. But if the minute I put it in a smoothie.
You blend it. Now the sugars are more available. The fruit has been broken down. The sugars are free-floating in the concoction. Even worse is if you squeeze the juice out of all that stuff, now your blood sugars are going to go skyrocketing high. I'm sorry. I'm bad talking juice manufacturers. Not everybody has this problem. Some people can drink a glass of apple juice and they're fine.
I have no problem, yeah.
They have a super system. They regulate their blood sugars beautifully. They don't have any problem. Orange juice, apple juice are not a problem whatsoever. Yeah, those people are rare.
Lucky them.
I don't know if rare is the right word. They're less common than those of us who can't deal with that kind of stuff.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Less common.
Yep.
So it turns out to be a super important problem to figure out if you have, and a super important problem to figure out not to have. We talked about things that you can do to help regulate your blood sugars. The best thing to do, I already said this, but I'm going to stress it, is to run that continuous glucose monitor for 2 weeks and find out if you have what you're sensitive to. Just eat food mm-hmm. and just note the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. The next 2 weeks, try to keep them between 70 and 150.
Yeah, try just to do see everything what you food
can
does what.
Between 70 and 150. You may be going to be taking some stuff.
Yeah.
You may be taking medications or herbs or increasing your fiber or changing how your diet is or changing how your exercise is mm-hmm. or missing a meal occasionally or missing a day of food. If you do intermittent fasting, it'll fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it'll contribute to the fixing of it.
Right.
There's a lot of things you can do to fix this. And we don't have enough time in the show to tell you all the reasons why. Let me just say there are reasons. It's not like we don't understand why this stuff works. We do understand why it works. And really it's a matter of you're going to need to make some changes. You pick the ones that you like.
Right.
You do the stuff that you like. And you know what you do?
It's not
like you just, say, well, I'm going to eat, three portions of fiber, or I'm going to eat two apples every day, and we're going to call it good. No, check.
Right.
See if it works.
Yeah.
See if it actually balanced your blood sugars.
See how it's responding.
If
see
it
how
did,
a banana does versus an apple.
If it did, far out. If it didn't, forget it. Now, let's talk about bananas. Bananas are actually problematic food. Bananas, otherwise known as yellow carb sticks.
Yeah, I thought bananas were the super powerhouse of fruits. They were my favorite fruits. And then with cutting out carbs, I figured out I was getting 50 grams of carbs from my two bananas that I was eating every day.
Yeah, now bananas are not one thing, though. There are green bananas. There are slightly green bananas.
There's
there are yellow bananas. There
brown are, spotted bananas.
And there are black bananas.
Yeah.
The blacker the banana, the more sugar.
Oh, is that right? That's why we use the black ones for banana bread.
Because they're sweetest.
Yeah.
That's right. And the green ones have the least amount of sugar. And they're an exercise in chewing. If you get them green enough,
mm-hmm.
there's no sweetness to them whatsoever.
Right.
You're better frying those bananas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Than eating them.
Right.
But you get the ones that are slightly green, and they're slow to give up their sugar. So you can actually keep your blood sugars balanced eating green-ish bananas or slightly yellow bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but don't take my word for it. Try it.
Right.
Get a continuous glucose monitor.
And see how different bananas
banana
work.
You're good. Right. You
yeah.
can figure it out yourself. And you know what you're going to become? Is the resident expert on the planet Earth of your own blood sugars. You're going to know more about your blood sugars than any doctor will know, because you got a continuous glucose monitor and you can check.
Right.
You want to know what cherries do, right? What are cherries going to do to my blood sugars? Eat them and just check and just see.
Yeah.
And you'll notice. Your blood sugars go up a little bit. Not that much. Well, anyways, don't take my word for it. You guys get to try it. This is super, super important what I'm talking about. This is the scourge of our times is high blood sugars. It wreaks and ruins us. If we can get our blood sugars to come down in the normal range, and we can,
mm-hmm.
and we get our metabolic rate to come up a notch or two, and we can,
mm-hmm.
then what happens is our body's able to clean up all the damage from the sugar, and we prosper. And we are healthy, and we live our full allotted lifespan.
More energy, lose weight, better
everything.
Sleep,
the whole
all
caboodle.
Of it.
That, it's worth doing for sure. You can tell I'm excited about it because it's fun to fix things. So, Haley, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for having me.
It makes it 10 times more interesting to have you here and be part of the conversation. I want to let everybody know to hang out on KFAR for Craig Compo's Outdoor Show. This has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the...
At the KeyBank Building downtown, 100 Cushman Street on the third floor is our new location.
With a view.
With
it's
a view.
It really is nice. And where we treat a wide variety of diseases, including blood sugar control diseases, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, the whole kit and caboodle. I want everybody to stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.